Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Pei Aleph. We are learning today, Li'ilui Nishmas, Sidney P. Rosenblum, Pinchas Zelig Ben Yisrael Moshe, and Eleanor Herzog, Yetta Bas Yosef. And of course, we continue to learn for the safety of all of the forces of Am Yisrael, that they should be safe, they should be secure and successful in everything that they do with zero casualties, Be'ezras Hashem, and that all the hostages should be redeemed quickly, safely, and in full health, and that all those that need Nechama and all those that need the Refuah Shleima should have that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we pick up on the very top line of Pei Aleph Omud Aleph, the second to last daf in this beautiful Masechta, in this beautiful Seder of Noshim. Omar Yehuda Omar Rav. So Yehuda tells us the name of Rav. We learned in yesterday's shir that there are some restrictions in terms of Yichud. Most hold that it's on a Daraisa level, some say on a Darabanu level, in terms of a woman being alone. Two women are not allowed to be alone with one man, but there was a lenient opinion that said that two men could be alone with one woman. That isn't the Yichud problem. But we now qualify that. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, that which we said in yesterday's shiur, that a woman is allowed to be alone with two men, Lo Shana, we only said that, Ela Be'ir, that's when they're in the city. When if one of them has to go to the bathroom, so then there'll be easy places right nearby, and he would be able to just go, let's say, around the corner. They don't always have indoor plumbing, but he'd go around the corner, and he would immediately come back, and there would not be an opportunity for now the single man to be alone with the woman for Chas V'Shalom some immorality to occur. So therefore, we had said that two men are allowed to be alone with one woman. That was only said in the city, Lo Shanu Ela Ba'ir. However, Avo Baderech, when they're on the road, when there may be open spaces and a man may have to go quite far away in order to find the private place to go to the bathroom, in that situation, Shema Yitzdorech Echod Menekovav, we have to be concerned that one of them may need to go to the bathroom, and therefore, as Rashi says, Uboil Hisrachik Litznius, he's going to have to go far away. And it'll be able to be clearly seen when he's coming back, and if they were going to Rahman al-Islam, want to commit an immorality, they would have time to do so. So Avo Baderech, Achu Shlosha, then you need three men, because in case one has to go to the bathroom, there still will be two men there, and as we had said, a woman wouldn't do an Aveira with two men, and as we also discussed, of a decent character. And we'll discuss that more in a moment as well. And the reason is, as I just said, I brought them from Rashi, Shemi Yitztarech, Echad Mehem L'Hashtin, if one of them has to go to the bathroom to go and urinate, so since there's an open space there, he's going to have to go far away till he can find the place where it's appropriate for him to go to the bathroom. V'nimtzu Echad Misyach. If there are only two people over there, then there would be a potential Rachmana Litzlan for the other person to be alone with the woman and Rachmana Litzlan to do an Aveira. And the Gemara now says, Nemo Messiah, let us bring a proof from the Mishnah that we brought down yesterday from Sota. Mosrin lo shnei tamidei chachamim, shem yavo aleha baderech. We said that you have to send along two Tamidei Chachamim. Now, why do we say, Badafka, two Tamidei Chachamim have to go along with the husband and the wife who's being accused of being a Sota, and he's bringing her up to the Beis HaMikdash to drink the Beis Sota? Why do you need two? Trei, V'iyu, Hotlasa. That's because there's two plus him, and they're going on the road. They're traveling up to Yerushalayim. So therefore, in case one of them has to go to the bathroom, there still will be two men left, and therefore, we are seemingly in support of the restriction of the qualification. Yehuda Omar Rav said that we only said that it's acceptable for two people is in the city, but when you're traveling on the road, you need three people. And that's why the Mishnah and Sota said that you have to send along two Tamidei Chachamim and not one Talmud Chacham. Trei v'ihu hotlasa, a total of three. Exactly like what Yehuda Omar Rav seems to say. So Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. It's not a right against, but it's not a proof. Because Hashem, in the case of the Sota, the reason why Chazal insisted that two Tamidei Chachamim come along is for a different reason. Not because of Tznius, not because of Yichud, ki hechi de nehevu ale sahadi, because they'll be knowledgeable, and as Rashi says, im yavu ale, rachmon al-san, if the husband has relations with his wife. Normally, husband is allowed to have relations with his wife, but not if he accuses her of being a Sota, and he's forbidden to have relations with her until she drinks the Mei Sota and proves herself to be innocent. So you need two Talmidei Chacham over here to act as witnesses in case this husband does closet himself away with his wife and have relations with her during this period of time. So these two Talmidei Chachamim, the Yaidu, they can come and testify Lufnei the Beis Din in Yerushalayim, and therefore they'll say, no, sorry, she's not eligible to drink the Mei Sota, and we won't have to erase the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Yimachu Aleha Megillah. We don't erase the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu unnecessarily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a huge chesed for us in order to make shalom between the husband and the wife. The husband's obviously concerned that his wife is fooling around. He's concerned that she's acting immorally. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's okay to erase my name And if she is, in fact, not guilty, so this will bring Shalom into the house. Husband will say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're not guilty. He says, I'm sorry, I love you. And there'll be Shalom in the family. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you can erase my name for Shalom Bayis. But if we know that the Mei Soto won't work, the rule is that if the husband does have relations with his wife, after he accuses her of being a Soto, the witnesses that she closeted herself away with the individual that she was accused of not to be alone with, so then the husband is forbidden to have relations with her, and the psukim tell us, unless he is free of sin, then the mei soto will not work. And since he sinned over here, the mei soto won't work, and we'd be erasing the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for naught. And that's why we send along two Talmidei Chachamim, Lav Davka, is this a raya to what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. Now, I have a very interesting short story over here that is somewhat shocking almost. Rav the Rav Yehuda, these two unbelievably great Amorayim, the great Rav and his star pupil, Rav Yehuda, Havu Ka'azle Be'urcha, were once going on the road together traveling, and it was as they were traveling, Hava Ka'azla Hai Itza Kamayu, there was a woman walking in front of them. Now, Amalei Rav Rav Yehuda, Rav tells his Talmud Rav Yehuda, quick, Dal Karech, Mikame Gehenim, lift up your feet and let's run in front of Gehenim. In other words, let's get well away from this woman because we're two men and we're traveling on the road and therefore we would, chas v'shalom, be at risk for one of us having to go to the bathroom. The other one might, rachmana l'slan, succumb to temptation and have relations with this woman. And therefore, we don't even want to be in the situation where there's a potential for that. And he said, quickly, Dal Karech, lift up your feet, Mikame Gehenim, from the Rachmana Lislan, the risk over here of us going to Gehenim. Now, this is Rav and Rav Yehuda. So I'm going to let Rav Yehuda says to his Rebbe, he says to Rav, wait a second, but Rav, you're the one that said in yesterday's Shia, for Marhu D'Yomar, Bechsherim Shaper Domi. But when you're dealing with kosher people, so then there is no problem. A woman is allowed to be alone with even two men, not three men, even two men, because if they're of kosher status, if they are sherim, so then there is no concern. Shaper Domi, it's absolutely okay for this type of a situation to be. There's two of us. And even if one of us had to go to the bathroom, there's no concern over here because we're righteous individuals. So listen what Rav tells him. Omalei, Rav tells him, Mi yemar debich sherim kigon ana vi'at. Are we the people that I talked about? Who says? When I said the din, Ksherim Shaper Domi, the two men who are of upstanding moral character, they're Ksherim. Who says that we fit into that category? Rav and Rav Yehuda. He said, not sure that we fit into that category. Ella could go, Mike. What says then? Who in the world does fit into that category? If the Gadol Hador and his star pupil don't fit into that category, who does? So Ella could go, my, who then does fit into that category? So Rav responded and he said, Kigon, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Vachayve Rav. Now, what is this reference to? So Rashi tells us this is something that we learned earlier in the Masechta. We had a story about Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, which I'll tell you in a second, I'll remind you. And we had a story about Rav Tzadok and Rav Kahana. Those are the Chaverim of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi that we had on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, the story of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi. And then on Daf Ben Mor Aleph, we had short stories about Rabbi Tzadok and Rav Kahana. What were those stories? So just Bekitzur Nimratz. So we had the story of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi that in order to go and make sure that he didn't succumb to the temptations of a certain woman, so he made himself disgusting and the woman through magic healed him. And then he ran into a place where the Shadim were, destructive Shadim were, and he stayed there overnight in order to, said, I'd rather be at the hands of these Shadim than Rachmana L'Slan succumb to this woman's temptations. Oh, that's what's called a kosher person, Rav Chanina Bar Papi. And what is the story? Not Rav Tzadok. So that was the story of Rav Tzadok, was that he went into an oven. He jumped into an oven rather than to Rachmana L'Slan succumb to the temptation of a certain woman. And the story with Rav Kahana was that he jumped off a roof and Elio had to come from far away and catch him and save him because he was concerned about being alone with a woman and succumbing to temptation. That, Rav says, is definition of Ksheru. But, quote, people like us, Rav and Rav Yehuda, who says that we fall into that category? And therefore, he said, let's run ahead so we don't have a situation here where we're two men alone with a single woman on the derech. Okay. Amarav tells us another din, Malkin al Yichud, that we in fact go give Malkus to somebody just for being alone. Now Rashi says this is Malkus Mardus, even if you hold it's the din d'oraisa, and certainly if you hold it's the din d'rabbanan, the din of Yichud, nevertheless, it's not a lot that you get Malkus for, even if you say it's a din d'oraisa. So these are what we call rabbinical lashes. This is what's called Malkus Mardus, for a person doing something that goes against what the rabbi said. The rabbis have even more power in some ways than the Malkus d'oraisa. The Malkus d'oraisa has lots of rules and restrictions to it, whereas Malkus Mardus, rabbinical lashes, don't necessarily have even those same rules and restrictions. They can be given just because the Beis Din feels it's necessary to do so, and they can even give it to the point where they could, Rahman al-Islam, even have to kill a person. So, Malkin al-Yichud, Rav says, we do give lashes over here, Malkus Mardus, for Yichud. However, the Ein Ostrin al-Yichud, if a woman is closeting herself away with a man, so she was over the Yisr of Yichud, however, Rashi says, if she's an Ashes Ish, so we don't go and asa her to her husband. This isn't the same as a kinui and stira for a sota. This is without kinui and stira. And if a woman does this, so she's doing an issa, she's over either an issa deraisa, an issa derabanan, but we don't say that she's asa to her husband. Ravashi says, Lo amarin ella biyichud pnuya. He disagrees. He says, that was only for a woman when she's a pnuya. Do we give Malkus Mardus? Avo biyichud the deishas ish, lo. But if this was a married woman, somewhat paradoxically, we wouldn't give Malkus Mardus in that situation. It's far worse for the married woman to be alone than with the Pnuya. But the reason why Ravashi says we don't give it to a married woman is Shalotehe Motzi Laz al Bonel, because you're going to cast aspersions on her children in this situation. As Rashi says, Atamotzi Laz, Sheyomru Reuya Sheizinsa. We saw that she in fact committed Znus. Makach Hilkua. That's why the Beis Din went to give her Malkus Mardus. And the only reason they didn't give him Mises Beis Din, you know, like a Mises Beis Din, Lemiktulinu, and they didn't have the power to give Mises Beis Din anymore. So they did the best that they could, which is give him Malkus Mardus. But that seems, according to Ravashi, to be tantamount to saying that she did, in fact, do an Isser of Znus. And therefore, everybody's going to assume that if she was, in fact, guilty, any children born to her really were from her Boel, from this adulterer, and not from her husband. So that would cast aspersions on her children, and therefore, that's why Ravashi said, you don't do it for a married woman, but you give Malkus Mardus only for a Pnuya. Mazutra disagrees. Mazutra Malke Umachris. Mazutra would give Malkus Mardus even for a married woman that closeted herself away with a man who did Yichud Isurim. But he would announce, Umachris, he would specifically state, hey, everybody should know, we don't have any proof over here that this woman, in fact, did an Aveira. So he would be Machris, as Rashi says, Aleh, Shalo Zinsa, Elenis Yachto. He would say, the reason we're giving him Malkus is not because we know that she was Mizana, it's just because she did this Isser of Yichud. Nehud Gemara says, what Marzutra did sounds very smart. Just announce it, and it's not because of Znus, it's because of Yichud. So that's what Amalei Rav Nachman, mi Parhatya, said to Luravashi. She said, why don't you do the same thing? You said, no, we don't give it to a married woman because we're concerned about casting aspersions on her children. No, Mar Nami Loke, give the Malkus even to the married woman. Velichris, and do like Marzutra did and make a public announcement. So Ravashi answers, no, that's too dangerous. Because Amalei, Ravashi says back to this Rav Nachman, Miparhatya, and he says, there are going to be times, Ika Deshama Beha, Velo Shama Beha. The people are going to hear that she got Malkus, but not going to hear the announcement that she wasn't Chayiv because of Znus, but she was only Chayiv because of Yichud. And they're going to hear one and not the other. See one and not the other, and we'll have the trouble again casting aspersions on the children. He says it's not worth it to do that. Amar Rav, Rav tells us another din. He says we also give Malkus, Malkin, al lo tova hashmua. That we give Malkus, as Rashi says, mi sheyotze kol olav, shehu over averos. If somebody has a bad reputation, there's rumors going about him that he's doing all sorts of things that are of a terrible nature. So then, in this situation, Rashi says, Malkin oso. And this is based upon a pasuk that we have in Shmuel Aleph, where Eli, the great Navi Eli, the Rebbe of Shmuel, is going and castigating his two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, because they did certain things that cast them in a bad light. So, Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Al Bonoi, he says to his children, no, which is like a laugh, Ki lo tovo hashmua, I'm not hearing good things about you. And therefore, Rav would go and give Malkus for this type of action, or this type of reputation that a person would have. Marzutra Mosiv law, Afsira, Al Kasve. Marzut would go and give him lashes. He put some sort of a strap on him, and Afsira's something like a rein on him, some sort of a halter on him, and he would go give him lashes. And he would say this pasuk about him, Al Bonai Kilo Tovo Hashmua. So he would go and say this pasuk. Okay. Amar Rabba, the Gemara Ketitah says, Rabba tells us, Ba'alo bo'ir ein choshishim mishum yichud. Another din in yichud is, if the husband is in the city, so then we're not choshish over here for yichud. And Rashi says, we don't go give malchus in this situation. The mistafe mibal, she's scared that her husband's going to pop in at any moment. Her husband's in the city, so she's going to, Rechmon al-Islam, do something immoral. She's afraid her husband may come home any second. Hashtasi, he could come home in a second because he's in the city. And therefore, if the husband's in the city, even if she did yichud, we don't give her malchus. Amar Yosef, Yosef says, another din in regards to yichud is, if even if the husband's not in the city, if there's Pesach Posuach L'Rishus HaRabim, if there is an opening to the Rishus HaRabim, some suggest it has to literally be open so people can see inside. Others suggest it just isn't locked, so anybody could just walk in over there. This is very important in this halacha in terms of people in an office or a doctor with a patient, a lawyer with a client. So does he wants to have privacy, so do you have to leave the door open? So that would be very embarrassing to the client or the patient, possibly. So can you just have the door not locked? So theoretically, the nurse or a secretary or somebody else could just walk in at any time. So this Pesach, Pesuch L'Rishus HaRabim, according to many, means that even if the door is just unlocked, it doesn't necessarily have to be open. Or certainly it would be better if it's open. And many do try to leave the door open a little bit, halacha l'maisa. In any event, Pesach, Pesuch L'Rishus HaRabim, if there is an opening that people could enter or possibly even look in, so then there is no Issur of Yichud as well. Ein choshishim mishum Yichud. We don't have to be concerned over here from Yichud, and we wouldn't give Malchus in this situation, certainly. Now, listen to this story. We have some amazing stories today. Rav Bibi ikla lebei Rav Yosef. Rav Bibi once was visiting by Rav Yosef. He was at Rav Yosef's house, and they had the meal. And Rashi points out they had the meal upstairs in the attic on the second floor. And Basa de Karach Rifta, after they finished the meal, after they literally broke bread, so they finished the meal. So Amalahu, Rav Yosef, told his servants, Shekole Darga Mituse Bibi, go and remove the ladder over here to the top floor, to the attic, and this way he won't be able to get down and be alone with my wife. If I leave the house, as Rashi says, Sha'achlu Baliyah, they ate in the upstairs area, and then they came down, the Yardu, Rav Yosef and Ishto, Rav Yosef and his wife came down, and they left Rav Bibi upstairs without the ladder there, he told them. V'unisha Baliyah. He told him, Shkolu Darga, take away this ladder, Mituse Bibi, from in front of Bibi. He called him Bibi as his friend. This is Rav Bibi. Shalo Yorad V'yishachid. He shouldn't be coming down and be alone with my wife. Now, the servants asked Yosef, Nuv Hama Rabba, Bala B'ir, Ein Choshim Mishum Yichud. We just learned a second ago that Rabba had said that if the husband is in the city, it's still in the city, Rav Yosef. So why are we concerned over here? Wouldn't your wife, or even Chas V'Shalom, if she was even thinking of doing a favor, wouldn't she have a fear that you'd be coming home any second? So Rav Yosef answers them, no, shiny Rav Bibi, she might not be afraid to do something with Rav Bibi because Dishush Binte Havoy. He is Balas Brislo, Rashi says. In other words, they're friendly, they know each other, and therefore the Gaisobe, she may unfortunately have an attraction to him, and therefore we don't take any chances. So therefore he said, remove this darga, remove this ladder over here so Rav Bibi can come down from the attic and be alone with my wife. Amazing story. And we'll see later on in the shiur today, as well as from this story, the unbelievable koyach of the Yetzirah when it comes to these types of things of immorality. And a person has to put in safeguards, a person has to know himself, he has to know his, Rahman al-Islam, his potential to do an Isser, and put in safeguards such as Rav Yosef did with Rav Bibi. Okay, Rav Kahana tells us, when you have a sleeping arrangement over here or some sort of an arrangement where men and women are together and they obviously have to be staying in separate rooms, separate areas, so he says the best way, Rav Kahana says, is to put the men on the outer rooms. The people in the inner rooms will have to travel through the outer rooms to get out of their area. Anosha mi bachutz, put the men in the outer areas, and put the women in the inner areas. And in this situation, we're not concerned in this situation because of yichud. Rashi explains, when the women are on the inside, there's no reason why the men should enter into the inner area. They don't need to leave that way. They leave going out. So if they enter into the inner area, everyone will notice. And therefore, one man would be noticeable that he went inside to be with the women. But if it was the other way around, the women, when they leave, Yeshlahem Derech Luchutz, they have to go out that way. Hilchoch Anoshim Mi Bifrim, if there were men in the inside, Unoshim Bachutz, Choshin, Shema Yetze, Echod, Mehem, V'yisyachid, Imanoshim. It was the other way around. We'd have to be concerned that on the way out, he was misyachid. So therefore, put the women on the inside, and there won't be any concerns of Yichud. Now, we'll see. You could think this the exact opposite way as well, which we'll say in a moment in the Gemara. But Rav Kahana said, best to put the men on the outside and the women on the inside, and that will remove your chashash for yichud. Anoshim mi bifnim. If it's the other way around, if the men are on the inside, anoshim mi b'chutz, choshim mi shum yichud, then you have to be concerned. However, we then have a brisa that says the exact opposite of this opinion of Rav Kahana. B'masnisa tana, we learned in the following brisa, ifcha, the opposite, that in fact, go and put the men on the inside and the women on the outside, and that will remove the concerns of yichud. Now, since we have these two opposite opinions, Abaye says, let's be machmir for both. Omer Abaye, hashlu the Omer Rav Kahana hochi, v'tonu masniso ifcha. Now that we have Rav Kahana saying to do it one way, and the Bryce is saying to do it the exact opposite way, what should we do to be extra careful? Ana, others of the girsa, anan, either I or we, navid lichumra. We should do both and try to make sure that we act in the most machmedic way in order that we shouldn't be over, rachmonu litzlan, the temptations that would be involved if there were a yichud together. What did some of the other Amoraim do to prevent such troubles? So this is the source for the custom of putting up machitzas in various places when you don't need them from, let's say, a davening point of view. So Abaye, dar gulfi. Abaye would go and put between the men and the women when they would be gathered together for whatever the reason. Let's say the Ashir. So he would go and put these gulfi. Rashi tells us the gulfi are makom kivutzas anoshim v'noshim, when the men and women get together, ola drasha, for a shir, let's say, ola chuppah, or at a wedding. Hayim masader kankanim sholcheres harbi b'neim. He would put many, many jugs, earthenware jugs between them. And this way, if they would go try to pass from the men's side to the women's side, or the women's side to the men's side, sheim yavo zeh eitzel zeh yikashkiku, the jugs would make noise. V'yishmako, oh, everybody would say, hey, what's that noise? What's that noise? And they would see somebody coming from the one side to the other side, and this would be a preventative measure. That's what Abaye used to do. Rava did something similar. Rava, doyer kone. Rashi says that he would arrange them, the lashon of doyer is lashon dori dori, shuros shuros. He would arrange over here, doyer kone, these reeds, misader konim, shover aleim, kolum nishma. When you pass through them, they would rustle, and they would make noise as well. So these were basically warning systems that people shouldn't go and mix one to the other. And similarly, Omar Ovin, Ovin said a very interesting din. On the side of the source of Shas, it says it wasn't Ovin, it was Abaye. In any event, whoever it was, he said, sak for the shata rigla. And the side, it explains that this means kagon sha'ochlin v'shosin u'betelim imlachtin during yantif, during the shlosh regalim, especially Pesach and Sukkot, which have a huge cholamayit. Shavuot doesn't have the cholamayit, so it's not such much a concern. But especially during Pesach and Sukkot, where people are eating and drinking together, and they're not working, and they have a little bit of free time, misyachadin Uboyin Lidei Avera. He brings down this from the Aruch, and he says that during this period of time, when people are free from work, so this is a very dangerous time for Klal Yisrael, and everybody's getting together, and unfortunately, it could lead to improper mixing. And Tosus brings down, the bottom Tosus, Sakva, he says that Yesh Omrim, that there are those that say, L'chach Nogu L'Hisanos L'Achar Pesach L'Achar Sukkos. This is the very interesting custom of Beis Hei Beis, which some great individuals still fast even to this day. We happen to be in the middle of the Beis Hei Beis right now. I'm giving this share on Yud Mar Cheshvan. So the Beis Hei Beis started on Monday, Ches Mar Cheshvan. It's always the first Monday of the week starting, not in the week that there's Rosh Chodesh, it's the week afterwards. So it's the first week in Mar Cheshvan, and it's the first week in Iyar, when you have the first Monday after the Rosh Chodesh. So there's a Tanis on that Monday, a Tanis on the following Thursday, and a Tanis on the following Monday, Beis Hei Beis. And this is the source, Tosa says, for this custom, because of the potential for Rachmana Litzlan, a little bit too much levity, a little bit too much lightheadedness, and Rachmana Litzlan inappropriate mixing during the wonderful days of Yontif, of Sukkot and Pesach. And therefore, Yeshom L'kach Nogu L'Sanos, L'Achar Pesach, L'Achar Sukkot, Beis Hei Beis. Okay. Where it continues, it says, Hanach Shvuyasa, the Asoil Nardoi. There once were these women that Nebuch had been taken into captivity. Rachmana Litzlan, very reminiscent of our situation today. The Asoil Nardoi. But this situation should be Mitzvah Hashem, a school for us as well. They were able to be redeemed, and they were taken out of captivity. Mitzvah Hashem, the Amenu. These women and children and older people and chayalim that are in captives in Gaza right now. Mitzvah Hashem, this story should be a school for them, that they should also harach shvuyasa, the asoil in Adoya, they should come out of captivity and be returned to their families in Eretz Yisrael. In any event, it was a ma'aseh shahaya, and they were able to redeem these captives, and they brought them to Naradai. And askinu lebei Rav Amram Chasida. Where better could it be to go and bring these young women than to the house of Rav Amram Chasida? When your name is Rav Amram, the righteous one, the chassid, so then that's a pretty safe place for these women to be. And nevertheless, ashkulu dargo mi kamayu. They put the women upstairs in the dormitory upstairs, and they removed the ladder to go from Rav Amram's living room area, from his main area, to the upstairs area. Because of the concern, even for Rav Amram Chasida, Rachman al-Slam, to do something, as the Gemara now tells us, Bahadi dekol cholfo chodo minayu, one of these women was going by the opening. They didn't close the door necessarily. There was some sort of an opening there, and you could see up into that area, and Nafal Nahora bi Puma, and somehow there was a light there that shone through that opening in the attic, in the second floor, and shakli Rav Amram Lidarga. Rav Amram saw a woman there, and he was, unfortunately, again, on the level of Rav Amram Chasida, the Yetzirah, the Gemara is telling us, can be so powerful. The famous Vilna Gaon, I've mentioned over many times, somebody once said to the Vilna Gaon, oh, I wish I had your Yetzirah, because Vilna Gaon seemingly didn't have a Yetzirah, because all he did was be the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon told him, no, you're absolutely wrong. If you had my Yetzirah, you'd be crushed. The Yetzirah is given to the person to make sure it's Bechir Chavshi. So the Vilna Gaon's Yetzirah had to be as great as the Vilna Gaon's tzidkus. So therefore, the greater the person, the greater the Yetzirah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it over here that there was such a great Yetzirah that this Rav Amram Chasida was enticed to go up and do this Avera. What did he do? Shakli Rav Amram Ladarga. He took this ladder going up to the second floor. Now this ladder that had been put aside took 10 people normally to lift. The Lo Havu Yochlin Bei Asora Limidlaya. It took 10 people normally to move this ladder, and yet, because of his desire over here, the Yetzirah was so powerful, he was able to do it by himself. Dolya Lechude. He lifted the ladder and brought it over by himself. Nu Solif Yozul. He starts going up to the second floor to Rachmon Lislan Kvit Naveru with this lady. And Kimotala Palgadarga, when he gets to the middle of the ladder, he realizes, oh my God, what am I doing over here? And what does he do? Rashi says, Ivshach. Hirchiv, he puts his feet apart, Upisik Raglov, and he puts his feet firmly down, Lamo Bimkomo, not to move any further, Bechazaka, he forces himself not to go further up the ladder, Lizgaber Yitzro, in order to go overcome his tremendous Yetzirah that he has at this point in time. And he's not happy with that alone. Rama Kola, he raises his voice and he yells out, Nura Bei Amram, there is a fire in my house, in Amram's house. So he yells out, fire, everybody. So all of a sudden, everybody from the town comes, us, Rabbanon, everybody comes, the Rabbanon come to help put out the fire. And there's no fire. So they ask him, what's going on? So he tells him what's going on. He's not embarrassed to say that he had almost succumbed over here to this tremendous Yetzirah. And he tells him that Kidei Sheyachdal Miyitzro Siyish Bayishman. So he called out over here so that he would certainly be embarrassed, and this way he would be able to overcome his Yetzirah. He said, I didn't mind being embarrassed, as the Gemara tells us. Now, the rabbi is very upset, says, listen, you know, everybody now knows that the great Rav Amram Chasida almost succumbed over here to an immorality. Amrul, oh, you've embarrassed us. Mutav, Amrulay, they said to him, you've embarrassed us by, now it's public knowledge that even the great Rav Amram Chasida had this temptation. Amuli said, I don't care about that. He tells the Chachamim, Mutav, it's much better, Tichsifu Bei Amram, the Omohadein, it's much better that my family's name, my reputation, the house of Amram, should be in this world put down and embarrassed, and everybody laughs at us, then I rachmon al-islan, lo tirsifu minei, liom adiasi, that my name shouldn't be bad in the world to come. If I hadn't done what I did, I might have succumbed to this terrible, terrible temptation, this terrible iser, and that would be far worse for me in the olam ha'emes. Much better to be embarrassed in this world, let everybody think that I'm a weakling, everybody think that I'm a hypocrite, big deal, better than me doing the aveira and be forever labeled and embarrassed as such in the world to come. Then Rav Amram Chasida goes, you see what a great person he was, Ashbi'eh, He swore the yinpach minei that his yetzer hara should leave him. He said, that's it. You embarrassed me enough. That's it. You're out of my body. He swears to his yetzer hara that you have to leave the body. No, nofach minei ki amud denura. If you're a ravamru chasida, so then the yetzer hara has to listen to you. And the yetzer hara leaves his body and it looks like a pillar of fire. Amalei ravamru chasida says to the yetzer hara, says, chasidiyat nura. Look, see, you are like a fire. Ben abisra, and I'm flesh. And normally, fire burns flesh. However, vano adifna minoch. But I'm greater than you. I was able to overcome you. And I didn't succumb to this terrible Rachmon al-Islan Aveira that you tried to make me do. What a powerful story about Rav Avraham Chasida. And we have two additional powerful stories now about the great Rav Meir and the great Rabbi Akiva. So the first story is Rav Meir having mislod says to be over Aveira. Rav Meir would go and poke fun at, Rashi says, Omer shanakelhu lizgaber al yitzro imo yirotzim. He would make fun of people that weren't able to overcome the Yetzirah. And he would basically put them down and say, how come you can't overcome your Yetzirah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show him that it's not so easy to overcome your Yetzirah. And even a person of Rav Meir status could succumb to his Yetzirah. So Yom Echad, one day, Idame Le Satan Ki Issa. The Satan came to test Rav Meir, and he disguised himself, so to say, as a beautiful woman. And he stood Bahach Gisa de Nahara, on the other side of the river. And there was no easy passage from the side of the river that Rav Meir was on to the other side, except for a rickety bridge, a one-plank bridge that had ropes on it. So, Lo Havimavra, there was no boat or other way to get across the river. And yet, Rav Meir was so enthralled by this Satan disguised as this young woman, Nokat Mitzra, he grabbed onto a rope, Rashi says. Chevel Masuach Bisfas HaNahar El Sfaso. There was a rope that went from one side of the river to the other side of the river, and it was connected to these rickety planks, the oxen bow, and you had to hold onto this rope real tight. Lovo al daf kotzer on these little thin boards, hamuto baruch havanar, that would pass over the rope. So this is a really rickety little bridge, and he went across it, the ka'avar. And when he reaches the middle, halfway of going over this rickety bridge, kimato palgo mitzra, when he's halfway across, so shavki, the satan releases him, extra power that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the satan to go and entice Rav Meir, so he took it away. And the satan tells the Rav Meir, Omar, ilav deka machriz birukia, he zaru b'Rav Meir v'toraso, if it wasn't from Shemayim that they made me stop, and they said, no, stay away from Rav Meir, don't go start up with Rav Meir, he zaru, be careful from Rav Meir, and his great Torah learning, shavise l'domoch, Tarte moi, I would have gone and made your blood worthless. It would have been only worth 2 ma. Why 2 ma? So the Mefarshim bring down the Radal. He says that 2 ma is the minimum amount for a Korban Chagiga. And it says about a Korban Chagiga that you have to go bring Korban Chagiga, lo yirufanai reikam. So you see that 2 ma is considered reikam. In other words, I'll make you into a nothing. I'll make you into worthless. In other words, if you do this sin, you'll drop from your elevated, lofty status of being Rav Meir to be just another, Rachmon al-Islan, bum on the street, that you would have succumbed to the powers of the Yetzirah. So don't be so quick to be mislotzis while we are here. Don't put down people that Rachmon al-Islan can't overcome the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah could be extremely powerful. It could even capture a Rav Meir if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to. And unbelievably, we have the similar story with Rabbi Akiva, the great, great Rabbi Akiva. Moshe Rabbeinu saw the future, and he saw Rabbi Akiva, said, wait, give it to me, give it to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, having the slow, says, well, Rabbi Akiva would put down people that weren't able to overcome the Yetzirah. So again, same story as with Rabbi Meir. Yom Echad idme le satan ki issa bereish dikla. So the satan wanted to teach Rabbi Akiva a lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu let the satan go and appear like a woman, and was up in the top of a palm tree, Bereish Dikla. So, Nakti L'Dikla, and enticed Rabbi Akiva, and he started to climb up the palm tree. And V'kosolik V'ozil, he gets to the middle of the palm tree, Kimot L'Pagi D'Dikla, so he says, Shavki, the Yetzirah says, okay, enough. And he takes away this fantastic Yetzirah that was trying to entice Rabbi Akiva, and he tells Rabbi Akiva, Omar, Yilab D'Machrizi B'Rikia, Hizaru B'Rabbi Akiva, V'Tol Raso, same exact story like with Rameya. If it wasn't for the fact that Shemayim, they told me I can't continue doing this, I would have made you do the Aveira, and Shivisi L'Domo, Tarati Mayan, we made you into essentially a worthless person, worth these 2 ma, this minimal amount, Reikam, I would have made you into a gurnished, into a nothing. That, don't be so quick to be mislotzes, but over there. Another Maisa Shoya with Plimo. Plimo was one of the Chachamim, and Plima Habiraga Lemeima Kol Yoma, and every day Plima would say, Gira Bi'ene the Satan. It should be an arrow in the eyes of the Satan. In other words, he was saying, we should pierce the eyes out of the Satan. Satan wasn't happy that somebody was davening in this way. We'll see, he said, you should have davened in a different way at the end of the story. So Yom Echad, one day, it was Mali Yom the Kippur Hava, and it was Erev Yom Kippur. And Itami Leika Anya. And the Satan comes disguised over here as a Ani, as a poor person, to go get Staka from Plima. Now, also Kora Baba, he goes and he knocks on the door and he says, dude, give me food. So Afikule Rifta. So he brings him some food. He brings him some bread. Amalei, the Satan says to him, Yomo Kiyo Idna, Kuliyama Gavoy, Vano Abroi, on a day like Erev Yom Kippur, everybody has a mitzvah to eat. If you eat on the ninth day of Tishrei, it's like you fasted on the ninth day. That's part of the mitzvah, to eat on the ninth day. And since today, on this day, everybody else is eating inside, and you're making me eat outside, that's not nice. Okay, so Ilo, he allows, this Plimo allows this Oni, which is really the Satan, to come inside his house, Ukrivu Le Rifta, and he brings in the bread to eat in the house. Now, Maharsha says, this is the way the Yetzirah works. The Yetzirah starts off, these are the tactics of the Yetzirah, that the Yetzirah is like a poor person originally outside, and he gets a little inches his way in through the door, and then he just sits outside the living room, and then outside the dining room, and then he gets into the dining room, and then before you know it, he's the boss. So in any event, that's what the Maharsha explains that the story is teaching us. So Plimo allows this poor person to come into the house and eat the bread in the house. But the poor person, the Satan disguises the poor person, says to Plimo, Amalei, Yom Kiyoidna, on a day like today, Erev Yom Kippur, Kuli Amu Ataka, V'ano Luchudoi, everybody else is eating at the table. Nu, give me a seat at the table as well. So he does, Aisyuhu Usvuhu Ataka. So he lets the poor person sit at the table as well. What does this poor person, this Satan disguises the poor person, do? Havyosiv mile navshe shichno v'kiviale. So he makes himself look disgusting by having all sorts of, shichno and kive. So Rashi says that these are basically various types of pustules that will be filled with pus, and they're very disgusting. So he makes himself have this very, very disgusting skin condition. And he did all sorts of other things that were also disgusting to go and upset Plimo. And Amalei, he says, Plimo says to this Oni, this Satan disguises the Oni, we turn to pay Aleph on the base. He says, Nu, Tiv Shabbos, sit still. Stop over here. Shave Kahogan. Sit properly. Shalo Tam Isanu. You're making us disgusting. So stop doing these disgusting things that you're doing and just sit properly. So Amalei, Havali Kasa, this poor person, the Satan disguises the poor person, says, bring me a cup. So, Yavali Kasa. Okay, they bring him a cup. And he does disgusting things with the cup. Ichmar, he brings up all of his phlegm, and Shada Bey Kicho, and he spits the phlegm into this cup. Nachrube, they're scorning him, they're protesting, and they're saying, stop it already. Garubo, they get very upset at him. So Shaka, he makes it look who hechzik atzmo kemeis umis. He makes it look like he died. And the people are now saying, Shamu, Davu Karme. Plimo thinks he hears the people. Some say they didn't actually say it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them think that they had said it. Others say, no, they actually said it. So Shamu, Davu Karme, he hears the people saying, Plimo kato gavra, Plimo kato gavra. Plimo has killed this guy. So he runs away because he's afraid of the authorities. He thinks they're going to come and put him in jail. So Arak, Vitosha, Nafshi, Beis HaKisis. So he runs away and he hides in the Beis HaKisis. The Beis HaKisis was outside the city. They didn't have them in their houses, they didn't have indoor plumbing. So he went to the Beis HaKisis outside the city. And this Satan disguises the poor person, Azul Basway runs after him. And Nafal Kamei. And now he falls in front of him in the Beis HaKisis and it looks like he died again. Now, the Satan sees that he really has hurt Plimo at this point in time. Plimo is really, really, really upset. Plimo is suffering. So he gets up. He saw that Plimo was suffering. So he shows him that, no, don't worry. I'm not dead. I'm not really a poor person. I'm really the Satan. And now I can give you Musa. So the Satan tells him, Amalei, the Satan says to Plimo, my time, I'm Rishachi. Why did you say that there should be like an arrow in my eye? What did I do to you? Why are you saying this type of a tefillah? So Plimo says to him, I'm trying to get you to not attack me. What should I say? So the Satan teaches him, this is the more proper tefillah to say. Instead of saying there should be an arrow in the Satan's eyes, he says, Amalei, you should dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lema Mar, you should say, Rachmona Nigar Be Basotan. You should beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help you in your battle against me, against the Yetzer Hara. Okay. Now another story. Rochia bar Ashi have a rogil kol idon da have enough la pay have amar harachman yatzilenu meyetzahara. Rochia bar Ashi was an older man, and nevertheless, every day when he would say Tachnun, he would go down to say Tachnun, so he would say this tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save him from his Yetzirah, meaning he should save him from the Yetzirah, the taiva of women. Now, his wife one day heard him say this. Yom Echad Shematinu Devisu, his wife heard him say this, and she said, wait a second, you haven't had relations with me in a long time. The Marsha says she just assumed that he was an older person and didn't have the koyach anymore to have relations, and she accepted that. Now she hears him giving a tefillah that, hey, don't let my Yetzirah overcome me in this area. And she thought, well, I didn't think he had the ability anymore in that area. So Amra, Michte, Hakama Shnei, the Pari Shleminoi, he hasn't had relations with me for a number of years. So my time of Kamer Hakim, why is this an essential part of his tefillah? He doesn't have the kayach to do that. So why is he davening so hard that the Yetzirah shouldn't cause him and entice him to do the Saveira? No, she said, I'm going to test him. So Yom Echad, Havakugoris begin Yosei, one day, Rechiya Rashi was learning in their garden, and Kishto Nafsha, she adorns herself really fancy. She gets herself all dressed up. She, Mustama, disguises herself as well because her husband doesn't recognize her. And Cholfo Visanya come in. She walks back and forth in front of him and entices him. Amar Law, he says to her, whoa, who are you? Amar Law, Manat, wow, you're beautiful. Who are you? And Amar, and she tells him, oh, Ana Harusa, others have the Girsa, Chedvasa, which means desire. In any event, she says, that's my name, Dahodre Miyoma, and I'm coming back from the city. Rashi says that this Harusa was Shane Zona Nikerasmir. She was a well-known Zona, she was a well-known prostitute, and she was enticing him. In any event, he's enticed. Tova, he wants to go and have relations with her. So Amrele, she says to him, I see Niale Lahachrumna, go and get for me, you see that pomegranate on the top of that tree, the Reish Tzutzisa that's at the top of that tree, go and bring that pomegranate to me. Now, he then apparently seemed to have done the sin, although the Radal says, no, he didn't do the sin, he just was upset that he was thinking about doing the sin, he ultimately didn't sin with her, but he was very upset about this. And as we'll see, the rest of the story, he was very upset about this for the rest of his life, either that he sinned, or the Radal says that he didn't actually sin, but he was even thinking of doing the sin. In any event, Rashi also says, the Kiris over here, that it wasn't a pomegranate on the top of the tree, it was just, she told him, go get me that leaf on the top of the tree. In other words, do this very difficult thing for an older person to do. Nevertheless, Shavar, he jumped, and Ozal, and he goes, and Asyunila, and he goes and brings it to her, and Mistama, again, the simple understanding of the Bari is that he had relations with her, albeit the Radal says he didn't actually have relations with her. He's very, very, very embarrassed. Whether he had relations or not, he's unbelievably embarrassed. He comes back to his house, Avashagra Devisu Tanura. His wife's lighting the oven for, making supper. And what does he do? Solik, he goes into the oven. In other words, he wants to go and kill himself. He's so upset with the Averi that he did. So Amalei, his wife says, hey, what's going on? My high, what are you doing? Now, she knows very well what happened during the day, but she wants to hear from him. So Amalei, so he tells her, Hachi v'hachi av maisa. He says, I was enticed by this woman, this Harusa, this Chedvasa, and either I did the Avera or I want to do the Avera, and I feel terrible, and that's why I want to kill myself. So Amalei, she says, no, I know, Havoi, that was me. You didn't do any Avera. So Lo Ishmael Bey, he didn't want to believe her. However, Adiyova Lacey Money, she took out the fancy clothing that she wore, said, hey, don't you remember these clothing? That was me. I was dressed up in that way. Amalei, he says to her, no, Mio Lisura Ikavne. I wanted to do this Avera. The fact that I didn't do the Avera, either he had relations, but it was with his wife, or he didn't have relations, but he thought he wanted to do the Avera. She says, I'm held accountable for this. Nevertheless, even though I may not have technically done an Avera, he says, Ano Amiya Lisura Ikavne. I wanted to do the Avera. Either he actually did it, albeit it wasn't an Avera because it was his wife, or he wanted to do the Avera. He didn't know that it was his wife. And call Yama Shalos at Tzaddik. All the days, again, the world calls him at Tzaddik. Rabbi Barashi is at Tzaddik. Call Yama Shalos at Tzaddik. He would fast in trying to do tshuva. And in fact, Achimes Bosumisa. And he in fact died. Now, it says he died with that very death, so a little bit difficult to understand. But some of the Mepharshim explain is that he died. We just pointed out before that when Rav Amram Chasida ordered the Yetzer Hara to leave him, it looked like a pillar of fire. So some suggest that this concern with the Yetzer Hara, so Achimei also means that he died in a fire. In any event, you see how strong the Yetzer Hara can be. And we learn further in the Braisa, the Tanya, Isha Hafei Ram Vashem Yislach Lo. It says that a woman will make a neder, and her husband has the right to revoke the neder under certain conditions. We learned in Seder Nashim, we learned, of course, Seder Nedarim, the Maseches Nedarim, and we learned all about this, that the husband has the right to go and revoke some of the Nedarim that his wife makes, and Hashem will forgive her. Now, what does that mean, Hashem will forgive her? What's the pasuk talking about that Hashem has to forgive her? It's talking about Be'isha, a woman, Shinadra bin Nasir, that she took upon herself in a ziris, which the husband didn't want her to take. Bishama Baal, her husband heard it, and on that very day, he was made for the nether. He revoked the nether, the hefer law. However, she didn't know that. V'hi lo yodo shehefer lo Baal. She didn't know that her husband had revoked the nether, and unfortunately, she broke what she thought was her neder to be in Nazira, and she didn't carry through being in Nazira, and she drank wine, and she was Mutala Mason, two things that a Nazir is not allowed to do. Third one is cutting the hair. So she thought she was doing something wrong. In fact, she wasn't, because her husband had been made for the neder. So about this, Rabbi Akiva cried. Rabbi Akiva, ki havi mati l'hai psuka, when Rabbi Akiva came to this pasuk, Yishoh hafiram, v'ashem yislach lo, understood what the case was talking about, that a woman thought she did an avera, but she in fact didn't do the avera, so Abba Bachi would cry. And he said, Omar, umami shiniskavi lecho b'sor chazir, v'yolo b'yodo b'sar tleh, a person who thought he was eating chazir, treif, and instead he got kosher. He thought he was eating a treif thing, and in fact, he ate kosher things. So the Torah tells us, Amr Torah, tzricha kaparu slicha. The person has to do kapara. He has to ask for kapara from a kodesh baruch because he, in fact, had improper thoughts and intentions. So Allah has kama v'kama. Mishin is kavi lecho basa chazir. Vi olo biyodo basa chazir. Allah has kama v'kama. A person who wanted to eat chazir and ate chazir, how much more so does he need forgiveness from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And similarly, Kayosi Bedover at Omer, we have a similar idea. It says, V'lo yoda, v'yoshem, v'nos avodo. Person didn't know, and he sinned, he has to go and get an atonement. He has to carry his sin. In other words, he needs a kapara. Now, when Rabbi Akiva heard this pasuk and he knew this drasha, he also cried. K'sher Rabbi Akiva magil l'pasuk zeh hayavochi, he would also cry. Umam ishin iskavein lecho shuman, the person wanted to eat shuman, which is permissible fats. V'olo biyodo chelev, and he unfortunately ate the non-permissible chelev fats. So that person, Amr Torah, v'lo yoda, he didn't know. V'oshem, yet he's held guilty. V'nos avo no, and he has to go and get an atonement for his sins. So here he didn't want to do something wrong, and unfortunately, he did something wrong. He needs a kapara. So certainly, Mishin is kavin lecho chelav, yolo biyodo chelav. Somebody who wanted to transgress and eat the chelav, and in fact ate the chelav, how much more so, Allah has kama v'kama, does he require kapara? And similarly, Izi ben Yehuda Omer, he said a similar idea. He dashed in this pasuk, v'lo yodav yashem v'nosav, no, he says, al dover zeh yidvu kol hadovim. About such things, all the people that are sensitive, all the people that are concerned about doing the right thing, so they will unfortunately be crying over such an aver. Then we go and quote the Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Misyachid Odu Mimo. We said in the Mishnah that a person is allowed to be Misyachid, a son with his mother. That's not a problem of Yichud. Likewise, a person is allowed to go and be alone with his sister. Vidor im imo vimbito. So to be with his sister, sometimes it's okay. You know, he has to travel with her and to stay over one night together, so he'd be allowed to stay with his sister, because the Yetzer Hara, as we pointed out previously, has been taken away to a large extent for incestuous relationships, albeit still not a good idea on a regular basis to be alone yichud with your sister, but on an occasional basis, not a problem. And you could even live on a permanent basis, Vidori Mimo Vimbito. A man can live with his mother, or a man can live with his daughter, even though they're the only ones in the house. That can even do on a permanent basis. Now, that's what Rav Yehuda said in Ravasi. Ki Amara Kameh de Shmuel. When Rav Yehuda went and learned by Shmuel, he sent over this member in the name of Ravasi, and Shmuel said, Omar, no, that's not correct. Also, Lisyachit im kol arayis in the Torah, v'afilu in behema. Shmuel said, no, the din is you can never be alone with any of the arayis in the Torah. You shouldn't put yourself into that situation, not even with an animal. Now, Tosus brings down a famous idea over here. He says, nowadays, lo nechshadu yisrael, lo mishkav zocha, lo behema. There's all interesting running discussion in Shulchan Aruch, different times in history, as to whether we do or do not have to be concerned about yichud with a man, because of, unfortunately, homosexual potential. And with an animal, a Rachmon al-Islam, for bestiality. So in Shulchan Aruch, there are opinions, depending on the time in history, as to whether this was or it wasn't a halach l'maisa concern. Bottom line is, we don't have this as halach l'maisa concern. It's that, again, Nebuch, a person has to know his own taivas and has to be very, very careful with these things, if, unfortunately for him, that is a taiva. In any event, Shmuel said you can't be alone with any of the arayas, implying not even the ones that reviewed Amar Ravasi. It said were permissible, such as a case with a sister, or a son with his mother, or a son with his daughter. Okay. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, however, Misyachid Adam Mimo Vimbito, the Yoshin Imam Bikiru Basar, Utiyufta de Shmuel. Wait a second, our Mishnah had said you're allowed to do that. So how can Shmuel go and argue with our Mishnah? So I'm like, Shmuel would answer, Ulutamech, and according to you, you have no problems? Hadatani, what about the following brisa? It said, Achoso v'chamoso, a person's sister, a person's mother-in-law, Ushar kol arayis b'Torah, or any of the other arayis that the forbidden relationships in the Torah, you're never allowed to be alone with them. It doesn't literally mean you have to have Edom there. It means that you have to have other people there. You can't have Yich with them. So, be'edim in, shlo be'edim lo. So, you see clearly that you're not allowed to be Misyach with them. So, this Braisa argues with the Mishnah. Elo Tanoihi. So, this is Machlokas Tanoim. And I hold like the Tanoim in the Braisa, and you hold like the Tana of the Mishnah. The Tanya, because we learn the Braisa. Amar Rebbei, Rebbei said, Hizaru bi mipnei biti. He said, be very careful to his household. He said, don't let me be alone with my daughter. So Rebbe also held like this Baisa. And Amar Rebbe Tarfon, he's Rebbe Mimei Kalasi. Rebbe Tarfon said, I should be very careful to his household. Never let me be alone with my daughter-in-law, Rechmon Litzlan. I could commit an avery with her. Now, they made fun of him. You, Rebbe Tarfon, afraid of being alone with your daughter-in-law? Legally, the law of Osa Talmud. One of his Talmudim said to him, you, Rebbe, you're afraid? So Rashash explains, he says, you're allowed to be with a relative, we just pointed out, on occasions with your sister. So why are you afraid, Rabbi Tarfon? That's what the Talmud said. He mocked Rabbi Tarfon. And Amar Rabbi Abba, Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Rabbi Abba says the name of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, lo hayu yomim muatim, achi nichshal oso Talmud v'chamoso. That Talmud himself was nichshal with his own mother-in-law. He had made fun of Rabbi Tarfon for trying to be so careful, and he himself fell to that very same aveira. Rachmona Litzlan. As tomorrow is the last day of the Masechta, and it's a somewhat shorter Amud Beis, we'll stop over here a little bit earlier than usual, but it's already been quite a long shir, and Be'ezus Hashem, we'll finish off this beautiful Masechta, this beautiful Seder of Nashim tomorrow, and begin in Yitz Hashem, Seder Nezikin with Bava Kama, in Yitz Hashem the next day. Everybody should have a wonderful day. All of Klal Yisrael should be safe.